Thank you. So I would like to thank the organizer to invite me to speak here. So my talk has two topics, rational points and heights of Jacobians. I will start with the first topic, which is rational points, and more precisely, I'm interested in the number of rational points on a curve. So I will start by quoting a theorem. So let F, maybe let K be a number field. I take a polynomial in two variables over K, excuse me, of degree D. And I'm interested in the rational point of the curve defined by this polynomial, that is the set of solution in K square of the equation f of x, y is 0. And the result is that if E is finite, then I can write a bound for the cardinality of E, which is the following. So it is the exponential of a big term which depends on the degree, which is 5 to the d to the 4. Then we have the degree of the number field to the 5. Then we have the maximum of the height of the polynomial. This is the absolute logarithmic veil height. The log of the discriminant of the number field. And 1. And we have also an extra logarithmic term in the height. So I will speak about the proof of this theorem. The first, maybe some comments are in order. So for the first thing, of course, this is only a result on the number of points. It does not give any way to determine E. This is not an effective model. This is just about an explicit bound for the number of points. So we don't know how to bound the height of the point in E. The second thing is that we expect to have a bound which depends on much less parameters. That is, if Lang's conjecture on variety of general type, on varieties of general type, is true, then it is shown that there would be a very uniform bound on this cardinality, which will depend only on the degree of the polynomial and the degree of the number field. So this is the work of Caporazzo, Harris, and Mazur, and some, maybe with the field K here, and some further works to have only the degree. And the third comment I would like to make, if even if we work over Q, then you see that we expect a bound which depends only on the degree, And here in the band, I have here the dependency on the degree is very big. It's a huge, huge thing. So it's a natural question to ask. Do we know examples with many rational points? And in fact, as far as I know, the best result is, so the best lower bound gives that is for a certain f we can find, so a set E for a certain example, such that the cardinality is at least d square plus 6d, and this is an example where 6 divides d, and this is due to Rodriguez, Volokh, and Zagier. Yes, this is Rodriguez. Villegas. I'm sorry. And the idea between the example is the following. We have a trivial example, which is the following one. You take simply the product of the x minus I, the square. And the same thing, you have the same thing in Y. It's completely obvious that this polynomial has exactly yes, n square 0. So since the degree is 2n, this is 1/4 of d square, even real zeros. So this is the trivial example. And we can do slightly better, but not much. And in fact, the idea is the following. You can remove the 2 here. If you do this, you keep the zeros, of course, but you are not sure that it may happen that the curve is not has not a finite number of solutions. But this is not a big problem. You put some rational constant here, and for sufficiently general constant, then the curve has I genus, and so the set of solution is finite. And so we have an example with d square. And the construction here is some kind of refinement of this idea to construct an example. But this is still very far for the double exponential bound that I obtained. And as far as I know, there are no other examples, or no better example, or essentially better than these kinds of things. So now I will try to explain the strategy of the proof of this theorem. Of course, I've stated here the theorem in a very general way without speaking of a curve, but it is a theorem about curves, and more precisely, since I ask that the set of points is finite, this is a theorem about first rank zero elliptic curve. And more importantly, higher genus curve. And in fact, these two cases are completely different and will be treated separately. So what is the strategy? So I will give some steps, and I will detail only one part. So I give some steps which I will not detail. The first step is very easy. This is an easy reduction in the statement, I have no assumption of the polynomial on the polynomial f, but it is easy to reduce to the case where f is irreducible over the algebraic closure. This is a very easy reduction. And then F really defines a geometrically irreducible curve. And so the next problem is that the curve I have is not smooth. So there's a process of normalization. And here, since I want a result which is completely explicit, I have to calculate or control. So, normalization. Say that C is the curve defined by F. It's not smooth, not necessarily smooth, and we have to control the normalization of C, and this was a plane curve, but in general the normalization is not, so I embed it in P3, and when I say control, it means that we control the degree of this embedding, which is easy, and then the height, that is the height of this curve in P3, in terms of I won't give a precise formula, but in terms of the height of the polynomial f. So here it is not completely easy. There are some calculation we have to follow in the process of normalization of the curve. We have to follow all the steps and control the height to get such a bound. But I will not detail this. Then the now I have a smooth irreducible curve connected, everything. So I can now separate the two cases. So for the first type is the elliptic case. And here the problem is a well-known problem. It is only a bound for the torsion group of an elliptic curve. So we want to write a bound for the torsion group. And this is a problem which has been studied a lot. So of course the result of Mazur over Q, then there's the result of Merel for number fields, which says that we can have such a bound which depends only on the degree of the field. So this is much better than such a bound, and we even have explicit bound by Parent, but these bounds are they are much better because there's only one parameter, the degree of the field, but they are bigger than this dependency. It is doubly exponential in the degree of the field. So if I want to have the same kind of things here, I have to use another kind of bound. Because here it is, I can allow the height in the bound, so it's much easier. Much easier. So there is a result by Indri and Silverman which gives such bound, and also David. And the one I am using is a totally explicit result due to Petsch, I don't know. So I'm using this. It gives a bound in terms of the degree of the field and the spiral ratio of the elliptical, and this is very easy to bound in terms of the height. So we get such a bound, even better, but such a bound. So this is a particular case, and the important case is the higher genus case. So here I use an explicit inequality of height. In the approach of so the proof of Vojta of the conjecture of Mordell, and the work of Bombieri, and also the work of Faltings in higher dimension. So in all these approach, the main step is a certain inequality of heights, which can be made completely explicit. That means we calculate the constant, and it does not give an effective result, but it allows to bound the number of points. And if we do this, I did this some time ago, we obtain a formula like this. Okay, I will give the formula just a bit later. Let me say just for the moment that this gives an explicit bound for the number of points, the cardinality of rational points, and this will be in terms of the rank and the height of the Jacobian. Of the smooth projective curve. And so I say the thing like this because this gives the two last steps. The fifth one will be to bound the rank. And this we can read from the proof. So this is classical also. We can read from the proof of the Mordell-Weil theorem, and precisely the so-called weak Mordell-Weil theorem. Excuse me. The rank of G of K. The Mordell-Weil rank. Okay. So you read the proof of weak Mordell-Weil theorem, which is an algebraic number proof, and this can be made explicit and give a bound for the rank, which I will give in just a minute. And this was in a paper of O and Top in 1989, I think. Okay, and then the last part. Will be, of course, to bound the height, the last term. And this will be in terms of the naive height of the curve, or in fact in terms of this height, the height of the curve in P3. And with this step we will go back to the height of the polynomial, which was in the first statement. So I want to speak more precisely about this part, but first I will give the formula which are here and here to see what terms are involved. So I give some explicit formula. So this is a result which I obtained some time ago. The cardinality of the rational points are bounded by certain explicit things. So we have something which depends on the genus, the degree of the number field, the genus again. Here is the height of the Jacobian, on which I will speak in a minute. And then in the exponent we have the rank plus one, and again the genus here. And I should say that this bound uses a result by David and Philippon. Which was published 2 years after, about the effective Bogomolov problem. We have to count small points, points of small height, and here this result is used. Then for the rank, we have the following thing. So you see that in this formula, everything is okay except this rank and this height. And this is the purpose of the two other steps. So for the rank, we have, if I denote by little d the degree of the field, we have this, the following estimates: the genus, the degree, 2 to the power 8 times the genus to the square, again some time with B and G, and then we have a contribution of the bad reduction. So this is the bad reduction of the Jacobian or the curve, this is the same thing, and so you put the logarithm of the norm, the norm of every prime, integral prime of bad reduction. And then here appears the discriminant of the field, and there's a little extra term. Okay, so I write this down to see that this, and this, we have only terms that we want in the final formula, so this is okay, and then we have to bound this bad reduction, and this is not too hard by using some effective arithmetic Nullstellensatz, as in the talk of Bombieri this morning. Then we can bound this in terms of the height. And I should say also that this big thing here gives the main term in the degree here. The exponent to the d square comes from this, because in the worst possible case, the genus is roughly half of d square. So this is roughly 4 to d square. And so this is the main term in terms of the degree. This is the biggest term of the calculation, and I change 4 into 5 to absorb everything else. This is 4, because, I'm sorry, g is square, and so g square is the 2 to the 4. Okay, so this is just a remark on the calculation. Okay, so now I will speak about the last step. So let me give the results. I will explain just in a moment what is precisely this height. the result will have the following shape. I write this n to the 20m height to the g times height of the curve plus 1, where m depends on the genus 4g minus 2 plus 2 times the degree of c of the curve. Excuse me? Yes, I explain this. So this is the point. I want to speak about this height. This is the so-called theta height. And I will give a definition, in fact, which is not exactly the classical one, but I will explain. The first thing I would say is that it is a height on the Jacobian, of the Jacobian, and in particular it is comparable to the intrinsic height of the Jacobian, which is the Faltings height. And the formula is like this. It is the CR height is almost one half of the Faltings height. And the error term is some absolute some constant, which depends only on the genus, the dimension of the abelian variety, times the logarithm of the height. So you can write this with the CR height, and if you want in the other way, this formula gives the same thing with the Faltings height with a different constant. And this result is due to Bost and David. I believe it is in 1997, but it is still unpublished. Which is a bit unfortunate. But, so we have such a comparison with an explicit constant here. So this is the first thing. Now, what is the definition of the theta height? So classically, this is the height of the so-called theta null vertex. So this is that. This is the height of certain values of theta function. So we have a theta embedding of any abelian variety, and given by theta function, and the height is the height of the image of the origin of the abelian variety in this embedding. But the fact is that if we want to calculate or estimate as I do it here, the height of these things, it is not very I find not very easy to do it with theta function, which are analytic objects. So we have an algebraic way to do this, which is due to Mumford, and I will give some details on this. So let us consider a slightly more general setting. Let AD be a principally polarized abelian variety. And the polarization is given by a divisor D, which I choose to be effective, the natural thing to do, and symmetric. And then to give some extra generality here, I will introduce some integer r, which is even. And now the point is to consider the space of section of the divisor r square d. So this is a space vector space of dimension. Maybe I should say that everything here now is over a Q bar, because this this calculation here, there is no we don't have to consider the field of definition. Everything is over Q bar. So I will use a torsion point without problem, because I don't have to care about field extension. So this is a space of dimension r to the 2g. This is the fact that the polarization is principal and the theorem of Riemann-Rohr. And now the point is to construct a special family of this a basis of this space. So let me sketch the approach. So Mumford gives a construction a basis of this space over any field. So this is the so-called algebraic theta function. They are the some section of this divisor, and then we construct an embedding of the abelian variety into a certain projective space of dimension R to the 2g minus 1 over Q bar. Let's say this is iota. And the definition of the theta height. So I will denote this by theta height of AD with respect to R. This is just the height of the image of the zero of the abelian variety. Classical height here on the projective space. And what is the idea behind this construction of Mumford? So how do we construct section of this of this divisor? We use the fact, which is a very classical consequence of the theorem of the cube, that because d is symmetric, then this r squared d is, let's say, linearly equivalent to the pullback of D by the multiplication by R. And so on this divisor, which is this thing, we have a special section which comes from D by multiplication by R. So we have a particular section. Well, this is not exactly true. This is up to a constant. And more precisely, we can see the pullback of the one-dimensional space of section of D inside the space in which we are interested. So this is the first thing. We have a way to find one section. And then we apply to this section the action of the theta group or Heisenberg group. On this section, and this will give the family we are interested in. This is not exactly true if you take all the theta group, because this is up to constant, and then you will have too much section, and we don't want a basis in which every element is defined up to constant. If the whole basis is defined up to a constant, this is fine to have the height, but we don't want all the elements defined up to constant. So to do this, we have to use, in fact, the finite version of the theta group, that is the group which is in the exact sequence between the torsion point, the R square torsion point, and here usually it would be the multiplicative group of the field, but you can take the roots of unity, let us say mu infinity, so the roots of unity, and in this way, so this is a subgroup of the usual, maybe you don't see, of the usual theta group, and in fact it is exactly the subgroup of elements of finite order. And in this way, the section we get when we let act this group on the section, on the first section we have here, we obtain other sections, we are defined up to root of unity. But this is perfectly all right for me, because the only thing I want is to calculate the height. And if I multiply by roots of unity, the height does not change. So I obtain, not precisely in this way, we can do something better. You can choose in a special way you can lift the elements here in there, make some choice and do something like this, but in fact it is not even necessary to make the choice if we are only interested in the height, because it's only up to roots of unity. And so we do this, we obtain a certain family of section up to roots of unity, and the only thing we have to do is to evaluate this section in zero and to calculate the height. So this is the first point, but the next point is that we don't even need to do this. And there is a way to go around this process and to calculate the theta height without even seeing the theta group. So this is not very, very difficult, but this is useful for calculation. So let me give the statement. Choose a divisor which is linearly equivalent to to the divisor we had in the beginning. So this one will not be in general effective, of course, otherwise it would be the same one. And we assume that the origin of the Abelian variety is not contained in the support of E. Okay, and then we apply the theorem of the cube, that is this linear equivalence here, in a slightly different way. That is, I consider R squared D minus the pullback of E. So because of these two relations, this is again a linearly trivial divisor. I write it as the divisor of a certain rational function on the Abelian variety, and I claim that this rational function, which is defined up to a non-zero scalar, is sufficient to calculate the theta I. And precisely, I find that the theta height is 1 over r square, the height of the family obtained by evaluating this function on all r torsion points. Okay, so this is, again, this is up to a scalar, but this does not change the height. There's only one scalar involved. And I can evaluate the function in the point of R torsion, because it's very easy to see with this relation, since because of the this condition, F has no poles on R torsion points, so this makes sense. And I claim that this is not always zero, so this is a well-defined height, and this is the same thing as the theta height. Maybe I've not said it. Maybe just for completeness, the theta height I used in the beginning, the h theta, was the same one as in the work of David and Philippon. It is obtained with r is equals 4, the Jacobian, and you take, of course, the natural polarization of the Jacobian, which is given by the theta divisor. Okay, so this statement is obtained. Well, to prove this, you have to go inside this construction to look at the theta group. But the idea is really this one. All comes from this linear equivalence, and this is captured in the function, in the rational function f. And you follow the steps, and you see that all that that comes out is only the values of this function. And now this is much more practical to compute with this result. Why? So I say that it is an efficient way to compute the theta height, because you only have to compute, well, I will explain what I mean by compute, but it is something which is rather simple. You have a divisor, you write this as the divisor of a rational function, and you simply evaluate. It's much easier than go by with a theta group and all those things. And one thing we can do is you might ask, what is this divisor E? It is very easy to find such a E. For example, in practice, I take the following one, which is deduced from D by translation. And this is an obvious consequence of the theorem of the square, that this thing is linearly equivalent to D. And the condition that the support of this does not contain the origin simply means that I choose a certain point Q such that Q is not in the support of D and 2Q is not in the support of D. Okay, and now precisely for my problem that is in this setting for Jacobian, how can we calculate well the point is that this calculation with a value of a rational function is something that you can very easily pull back. And so, excuse me, we can pull back. So in the situation of the beginning, we can pull back everything throughout the morphism, which goes to the power C to the J, to the G, to the J, to J, to Jacobian. So let me call this little J. Okay, so we have this morphism, this very classical morphism, and we can pull back, that is, we pull back these divisors, and then it gives a certain linearly equivalent to zero divisor, which is the divisor of a certain rational function on the power of the curve. But in fact, it is the same function up to a scalar always, the same function as here. So we can evaluate this function here, and then it means that we can do all the calculation not on the Jacobian, which I do not control very well, but on the power of the curve, which is much more easy. So let me say just a few words on this. When you know two divisors like this, it's a rather easy matter to write down a condition on the function f, for example, as a quotient of two polynomials, to be the divisors of this to have as a divisor this thing. So you write this. This is some linear algebra. Which will give F once we have some control on the divisors, and this means that we control. So in my situation, I don't want to compute, I just want to bound. So I have to have some bound on the height and degree. And degrees of the divisors involved, which are, I pull everything back through this morphism, so this is J upper star D for the first part, and then I will have, if I take the E which is here, I will have something like the pullback by J and by some translation of D. Excuse me, and also pull back by the multiplication and by a translation, and then you have the same thing with the translation by 2q, which is of course the same thing. Right, the same. Can do the same thing. And now there's a last remark is that I say that we have only to control these divisors here. Okay, so this would be easy because my D will be the theta divisor, which is something which is very easy to define on C to the J, to the G here. But here we may have some trouble because this translation and this multiplication by R are certainly operation with the group law of the abelian, of the Jacobian as an abelian variety. So this is not completely obvious how to calculate on the curve or on the power of the curve with these things. So we have a problem which is to describe the group law, the addition of G on C to the G. Okay, here is how I do this. I use an argument of intersection, so the solution of the problem is to intersect with something which I will denote by L to the N, which can be written as the fiber product of Cn by itself of the Jacobian. So this will be inside C to the 2n. And this is saying this is simply to say that it is the set of the points of this thing are the set of pair of divisors of degree n. So E and E prime are here divisors of degree n on C, on the curve itself. So I see effective divisors. Simply see such an effective divisor as a point of Cn. And the condition that we are in the fiber product is simply to say that these two divisors are linearly equivalent. So I say that we have only to control this set, and then we can do all the operation we want on the Jacobian by intersecting with this thing. So for example, you want to see the addition of two divisors. So, for example, if I want to add two divisors E1 plus E2, where I suppose that I have these two divisors as given as point of the power of the curve, and I want to compute the sum. Well, it is simply that you form the point, the subset with these two fixed divisors here, which is something in C to the 2G, and you use all the power of the curve here, and then some constant thing. So I use some P0, which means that the morphism into the Jacobian is given by this. So this is the point which goes to zero, and then these things which is in C to the 4G, I intersect with L to G. And this gives the sum. This means that I simply consider the two divisors written as the sum, but written as the divisor of degree 2G, and I look for the divisor of degree G, which are linearly equivalent to these things. This is a question. easy argument. And with by intersection, if you control the height and the degree here, the height, let's say the height here, if you control the height and the degree here, you control the height of and the degree of the intersection. It may happen that the intersection is not of dimension zero. You don't have one representative, but you can choose one, which small height, for example, in the set of possible representatives, and you take this to be a representative, that is, some element of degree g, which is a representative of the sum. Okay. So by doing this, I can calculate and obtain the result I have given. So I will stop here. Thank you. Yes, so I don't know if it is still somewhere, but so in fact, in the beginning, I add something which is essentially like this, and I get the height in two places, first for the rank, so here I get some terms with the height of the polynomial, but this gives also the height of the polynomial. And so you get, in the exponential, you get height times log of this height. So this is the region. And we expect to have a more uniform bound for the number of points in a fixed subgroup of finite rank with no height here. And so we will remove the log term. But we don't know how to do this in general. Excuse me. Yes, it comes from the from the small points, and there is a result. So I said I used an effective version of Bogomolov problem by David and Philippon. They have a result which permits to remove this height term. But it is not for every abelian variety, it is only for power of elliptic curve. And so we cannot use it here in general. And it seems to be a hard problem to go to the general case. Yes?
Yes, I was wondering, you have here this problem of describing the addition law. There's some other work on explicitly writing out equations for addition laws. Do you know if you can get any improvements using these other works?
I don't know precisely these other works. I have looked in when I had this problem. I tried to find some literature on it, but there are some algorithmic approach, I think, but I was not able to translate this in height bounds. I don't know, but maybe I have not seen all the.
This is work of Cantor and Bolchek and maybe something like that.
Maybe. Yes.
Are there some special families you tried out where the bounds get better?
No, not really. But no, I've not done this explicitly. I believe that since the for the dependence in the degree, the main term comes from the rank. So, for example, if you add a way to know that the Jacobian has a rational two torsion, say, then the bound would be much better, for example. But this is not an explicit example of family of curves. Yes, probably there are things like that.
Are there more questions?